Good morning. Good to see everyone today. And last week we finished up our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to begin a brand new series. It's a very short series. It's a three-part series. Today we're going to talk about the temptations that youth face. And then next week we'll talk about the temptations that men face. And then after that, the temptations that women face. So we're going to look at all the demographics there, that temptation that God's people experience. It's just the luck of the draw we began with youth today. As we think about the world we're living in today, it is much different from the world that you grew up in, is it not? This is a totally different world. And the Apostle Paul told us that it would be different, that it would go kind of crazy. Let's look at a text here. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 writes, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So men are going to go from bad to worse. That's what the Apostle Paul says. And I believe today that many of our teens are under-challenged. They're under-challenged. We don't challenge them the way that we need to challenge them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says, "Let no one despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So Paul is challenging Timothy to step up. And so Timothy grew up in a mixed home. His mama and his grandma were believers in Jesus Christ. His daddy is nowhere to be found. We don't know anything about his dad. We don't know anything about his dad's faith. We just know that his mom and his grandma were believers in Jesus Christ. And so Paul adopts Timothy. He becomes a spiritual father to him, and he guides Timothy, and he inspires Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, I want you to be an example in all the ways that he mentions up here. Be example to believers. Be example when it comes to the word. Be example when it comes to conversation. Be example when it comes to charity or love. Be example in spirit, be example in faith, be example when it comes to purity. Timothy, rise up, meet the bar." And so as we think about the temptations that youth face today, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. And we couldn't list every single temptation that youth face today, but we'll look at some of the ones I think most of them face today. Number one, there's going to be a temptation when it comes to your speech. When it comes to your speech, as you grow old, and especially as you grow into adulthood, you're going to struggle with your speech because you're going to be exposed to so much rotten speech. You're going to be exposed to speech at school. You're going to be exposed to speech in the locker room. You're going to be exposed to speech on movies, TV shows, songs. In fact, this rap music today, it's nothing but every cuss word in the book times 10. That's all that it is. It's just one cuss word after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. You're probably going to start cussing when you get done listening to that stuff because you're being encouraged to do so. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edification." Good to build up people. But rotten speech is not to be a part of our lives. Now that's cuss words, and that's any speech that puts down a brother or sister in Christ. And so when you talk down or talk bad about a brother or sister in Christ, that's corrupt speech. That's rotten speech. That's bad speech. That's the kind of speech that we're not supposed to participate in. And so we have to watch our mouths. So Paul is urging Timothy, Timothy, rise above the crowd. Be different, Timothy, from the crowd around you. Now, part of the temptation is you hear a lot, of these words all the time in different contexts, but you also want to impress friends. And so sometimes to impress friends, you use speech that you shouldn't use, but you use it because you want to impress, or because you're bombarded with this speech all the time. And so what's going to come out of your mouth? What you hear all the time. And so that's why it's unwise to associate or hang around with teens that use rotten speech, or go to movies that use rotten speech, or listen to music that uses rotten speech. Physically, you become what you eat, and spiritually, you become what you listen to. So what you listen to, what you let into your mind, spiritually, that is what you become. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. And so we have to watch our speech. And so when you invite those words into your heart, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's what you do. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now look at verse 31. He says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you." So when we invite those words into our heart, into our mind, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We bring grief to the Spirit of God. He does not want us using that kind of language. Bad words and words that put down our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's filthy speech when we talk bad about one another. We're not supposed to do that. That is not being Christian. But then secondly, there's a temptation for hypocrisy. The temptation for hypocrisy. You see, you live one way at church, and then you live another way at home. And maybe they see it in their parents, and that's why they live the way that they live. They're simply living what they see at home. And that is the case with many. Or, you know, you go to a party on Saturday night, and then you take the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. We have to be very careful there. Got to be careful there. You see, Paul said we need to be consistent with our life. Be consistent. Listen to what he says. 1 Timothy 4:15. "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." And so, we need to be very, very consistent with our life. Not inconsistent, but consistent. Day in and day out. We're supposed to live what we speak and live what we teach. We're not supposed to be hypocrites. We're not supposed to, you know, tell people to live one way and then we're living another way. That's hypocrisy. And you see it in God's people. You see it in the church. Hypocrisy exists today. Every church has hypocrites. Every church. There's no church that doesn't. Every church has them. Now, it may just be a very, very small number. And I think it is a small number. And sometimes it may only be like one or two. But people in the community, they see it as it's the whole church because they see you that way. So if you're that way, the whole group's got to be that way. Well, that ain't the case. That ain't the case. I know this church. And there's some really godly people here. People that love God and love Christ and want to do the right thing and are living the best that they can to represent God in this world. And your example's important. And parents, we've got to give an example for our kids to live. We can't show them hypocrisy. Number three, doubt. Doubt. This is a temptation that our youth will struggle with. There is a temptation to spiritual uncertainty. And so your faith will be challenged by skeptics. It's going to be challenged by atheists. People will attack your faith. You will be asked to tolerate other religions. Christianity is not just one, moral system that's to be laid aside other moral systems. Christianity is the one true religion of the world. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Christianity's it. There is no other religion. And we don't tolerate other religions because there's only one. Just one. And so anyone who teaches that, one religion is just as good as another, did not come into the world and die on a cross for your sins and rise from the dead 3 days later. I'll assure you of that. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it. There's one mediator between us and God. There aren't any others. There's just Jesus. You need to be convicted that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Now, other religions are going to come up and other, philosophies are going to enter in. And it's going to cause some doubt. Doubt is one thing that God's people struggle with. Paul's telling Timothy, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, made shipwreck. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, Paul says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Paul would also tell us to fight the good faith and to lay hold on eternal life. And so faith is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for because everything is at stake. So our youth are going to struggle. There are temptations that youth face. Sexual immorality. You probably knew that one was coming. Right? You probably knew that one was coming. Many women today, girls today, dress provocatively. They just dress in a way that's going to cause people to lust. It's wrong. And you shouldn't. And if you're a Christian, you don't want to put your brother in that situation. You don't want to tempt your brother or cause your brother to be tempted and perhaps fall. And Hollywood is doing a whole lot to corrupt our young people today with all of their movies and all of their immorality and all of the evil that they are pushing in these movies. 1 in 5 between the ages of, let's see, 1 in 5 have sex before age 14, our youth. Think about that. 1 in 5. Have sex before age 14. Half the kids who graduate from high school are virgins, which means the other half are not. Be the half that are. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So sexual immorality is a temptation that our youth are going to face. Are we talking to our kids about sex? Do they know about it? Do they know what God's will is concerning sex? Do they know that God's will for sex is one man and one woman for a lifetime in a committed relationship called marriage? That is the only time that sex is permitted. In a relationship between a husband and a wife. A permanent relationship between a husband and a wife. Okay, so the big question is, how do our kids overcome these temptations? We know they face them, and I can just throw them out. They face this, they face that, and they face this, and they face... That doesn't do anything to help. So, what do we do to help them? Well, let me just lay out some things that will help our young people as they grapple with temptation. Number one, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. They just made shipwreck of their faith. And there are many that do that. And we don't want our young people to make shipwreck of their faith. We don't want to go along and see old brother so-and-so shipwrecked over there along the rocks. He would have made it, but parents didn't encourage him. He'd have made it, but he just associated with the wrong crowd. Just led him down the wrong road. Didn't heed the warnings of Scripture. We're in a spiritual battle and the stakes are high. They're high. You see, this is the battle. This is the battle for eternity. This is not a battle for a weekend. This is eternity, either with God or without God. And young people, the reality is some of you will not make it. And I say some of you in that room. May not be any in this room, but... Many of our young people aren't going to make it in the world today just because of everything that's going on and the temptations and the rejection of the gospel of Christ. You can't go to heaven without Jesus, no matter who you are. Number two, make up our minds in advance that we're going to react. And this is important. This is important. Remember, Elijah said, how long? How long will you waver between two things here? How long will you do this? Make a decision. Get on one side or the other. That's what Elijah's telling the people. And that's what we got to do today. You got to get on one side or the other. Either you're on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side, but you're one or the other. Remember Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's food. He wouldn't do it. He drew that line we talked about this morning, that line in Bible class. He wouldn't cross that line. He refused to go beyond it. And that's what we need kids to do today. Draw the line. Your loyalty to God's important. It matters. Number three. Oh, that's just the text there in Daniel. Number three, all right? Replace the negative with the positive. Replace the negative with the positive. You can't just resolve not to do evil. You can't just say, I'm just not going to do evil. You have to fill that with something. Because that vacuum's going to be filled with something one way or another. So you can't just say, I'm not going to do something. You have to replace that with something. You got to replace it with something. You can't just say, I'm not going to do something and then have that hole there. You got to replace that with something positive. And what is the Holy Spirit, for example, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so we have a helper in the Holy Spirit. And we're told in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. The Holy Spirit helps us with temptation. He helps us to eradicate sin from our lives. When sin comes in, He's the one that enables us to get rid of it. You wouldn't get rid of it without His help. You are powerless. You don't have the strength to do it, but He does. And He offers that help. And so, replacing, it's important. When you replace the negative with the positive, you've got to fill that with something. You've got to fill it with something. Or you're just going to have a big empty hole, and something's going to take the place of that big empty hole. And then, number four, enlist the help of your parents. Enlist the help of your parents. Nobody loves you more than your parents do. You may not think so. But nobody loves you more than your parents love you. And your parents will be there when your fly-by-night friends are long gone. They'll be there because they love you and they want the very best for you. So, enlist their help. They want to help you. They want you to succeed in life. They really do. They want the very best for you. And so seek their help, their guidance. They would love you for it. They really would. They would love nothing more than for you to come and say, Mom, Dad, I'm struggling with something. Would you help me? They would jump to that opportunity. They would thank you for the opportunity. And then lastly, number five, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are not an evolutionary accident. You are not an animal that simply lives for instincts. You are a person who's been created in the very image and likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, we're told God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And so God created us in the very image of God. That's amazing when you think about it. We bear God's image. We bear the image of God. But you're not an animal. You're a child of God. And so you should live like a child of God, not like an animal. There are a lot of kids that live like animals. They do. And their parents live like animals. And that's why the kids live like animals. So, these are some things that we can do to help our youth who struggle with temptation in life. We need to be there for them. And so this morning, if you need prayer for anything that's going on in your life, we would love to pray with you. There's no better person to come to for help than God. God is the one who's able to help you in whatever your situation might be. It might look hopeless or helpless. Not for God. God is able. God is able to help you, and He wants to help you. He desires to help you. But you got to come to Him and you got to ask Him. And for those of you who don't have a personal relationship with Him, and that is, you're not His child, you've not been saved. The Bible says that mankind has sinned, and our sin has separated us from God. And God in love, He sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross, to pay our sin debt, so that chasm that sin created can be bridged. No longer is that sin a problem. No longer is that sin keeping us from a relationship with God. Because of faith in Christ, we now come into a relationship with God. If you've never responded to the good news of the gospel, that you can come to God through Christ, we urge you to do that this morning while we stand and sing.